Lauren Mastis, he's back there in the foyer out there. No. Okay. Well, I'm here to talk about Friends Serving Friends, a.k.a. Missions Camp. It's been in the bulletin 2 or 3 weeks, but just a reminder, the dates are August 7th, 8th, and 9th. Am I too loud here? Sounds loud. Okay. August 7th, 8th, and 9th, it's about 2 weeks away. And that's a Thursday, Friday, and a Saturday. Lunches will be provided Thursday and Friday. On Saturday evening, there'll be a potluck dinner at the Mosier Pond at 6 p.m. Tableware and drinks will be provided. Bring one or two dishes to share and lawn chairs. Everyone come to that if you can, whether you're involved with Missions Camp or not, the Mosier Pond potluck. Now, on work days, on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we'll meet here at the church at 9 a.m. or whenever you can get here, but 9 a.m. is when we're going to start. So you clock in at 9, right? anytime you can come, if you can come, we'll meet at the church. As far as the work, we have some work here at the church that needs done, and also work for several from our community. Work here at the church includes painting, cleaning, landscape work, exterior caulking, and replacing bulbs and ballast here in the auditorium up high. There's several that are burnt out. Work for individuals that we are serving, at least at this point, includes yard work, cleaning, carpentry work, masonry work, and shingle repair. And there'll probably be more things as time goes on. We got a couple weeks. Probably be adding some jobs. We need your help. Sign-up sheets are at the Welcome Center, or you can sign up online at the church website. This is a great ministry to bless our church and our community, so sign up. Thank you.
You're awesome. I'll tell you what, Lauren's just taken charge of these last few years. This has been a really bright spot for our church as we get into our community. And, you know, we want it to, and by the way, it is carrying on all throughout the year. Just recently, we've had a couple of our small groups and Sunday school classes really impact the community with some good hands and feet ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we want that. We do this intentionally on this week in order that we may not forget to do it all year long. Amen? All right. This is going to be one of the coolest things. Baby dedication. Those of you that are involved in that, you know who you are. Come on up. I want you to come up this way. Come up the stairs so that everybody can see up on the stage here. So the Walls, the Shocks, the Van Romer family. And come on up. By the way, any of families that are extended families that would like to be up here surrounding them, the grandparents can stand behind them. Some of you came, I know, intentionally to be here. Now, if it embarrasses you, I don't want you to do that. But if you'd like to stand behind them as grandparents and family, I want you to know you're very, very welcome too. We're going to have a prayer over them. And it's okay. You can take pictures first if you want. It's all good. You can take some pictures first. And then when we pray, you can come up behind them. That will be fine as well. But this is a highlight in these families' lives, and it's so good, so good, so good to have them together. Yeah, your parents.
Say Mom and Terry.
Mom and Terry, you're being summoned, so that's just what they said. This is good. This is real good. All right, I just want to remind all of you, as well as the church body, why we do this. How many of you remember when Hannah in the Bible, when she prayed and prayed, she said, "I prayed for this child." Who was Hannah's child? How many of you remember? Samuel, right? And Hannah prayed. This is where the dedication of a child, this is where the history of it began, was with Hannah. And she said, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I will give him to the Lord for his whole life. That's what you're doing. You're giving this child to the Lord for his whole life. Oh, well, that doesn't relinquish any of your responsibility, because you have the amazing and divine appointment and responsibility to love these children and bring them up into the Lord's providence. Hannah's prayer was, I will give him to the Lord for his whole life. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Isn't that your desire, that your children would grow up in the presence of the Lord? That's the whole reason we're here this morning, is that you are stating to this church body and to your family that you're going to raise this child in the presence of the Lord at every step, at every turn, at every birthday, at every high school graduation, at every college entrance when you drive away. This child belongs to the Lord. So I'm going to ask you some questions. And after I ask them, I would like you to respond, we will. Because there's a bunch of you. So you don't have to say I, say we will. Will you do your best to raise this child to honor, revere, and love Jesus Christ? Will you do your best to maintain a home where Jesus Christ is honored and obeyed, where the Word of God is the authority and Jesus Christ is the head? Will you commit this child to God in prayer on a regular basis, trusting God to override your mistakes? Never, we will not make any mistakes. And make up for your shortcomings? Will you actively rely on the Holy Spirit to raise this child and to incline his or her heart to the Lord? Will you do your best to release this child to the will of God, whatever that might be, without bitterness or resistance? And lastly, will you do your best to be fully devoted? Will you do your best to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ so that this child has godly examples to follow? Congregation, you don't get a pass in this. This is important. These are your children. This is your family. At every turn, they're looking to you. They will look to you as examples in their life. That's a heavy responsibility. Are you listening? Their whole lives, they're looking to you as examples in their life. Are you living out your faith, or is it just lip service? Are you honoring God with everything you are and everything you have, or are you just playing church? These children are God's most precious jewels, and they look to you for discipleship and counsel. So will you, and I'd like you to stand in this moment because we're going to pray. And I'll let you sit down while I dedicate each one, but right now, will you lovingly stand with and beside these parents and their family under the blood of Christ that binds us together, encouraging them, exhorting them, advising them, and discipling them, and leading the whole family in growth in the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, I want an enthusiastic, we will. Lord Jesus, bless us as a family. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to dedicate each one. And by the way, moms, there's white rose for you as you go down. Just when you go down, you can grab one of those. Right? And the baby dedication certificate is right there with your child's name on it. So, but right now, we're going to anoint them, and we're going to pray for each one. Naomi, and if I understand it right, since I haven't seen Naomi till today, I don't believe. I believe she's only a few weeks old.
She will be a month old tomorrow.
A month old tomorrow. So I am going to let precious Naomi just be in your hands, because I don't want to wake her up. And come together, family. Come together. Come together. Lay your hands on each other, and I will anoint Naomi. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Lord Jesus, we dedicate Naomi to you and to your presence. May you guide her, love her, comfort her. Lord Jesus, in all things, in all ways, in every day, may her parents bring her up in the fear, which is awe, the majesty, and the grace and the love of her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May she come to know you, Lord Jesus, at a very early age as the God who will protect and love her for her whole life and for eternity, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to go over to Olivia because, see, they've got pictures and names up here, okay? I just want you to know why we're doing that. Olivia, I thought we dedicated you a while back, but I guess we didn't. What a beautiful big girl, huh? Olivia, how old are you? Olivia is 7, and her mama and daddy love her very much. We're going to pray over her in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we honor you. Olivia knows you well, Lord Jesus. And so what we're doing right now is acknowledging that fact that Olivia is covered with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are her Lord. She talks about you all the time. She even comes up almost every Sunday and gives me a hug just to say, she loves you and me. Lord Jesus, we anoint her in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Would you, Lord Jesus, be ever so close? When Olivia needs a friend and she feels maybe just a little scared of something, let her know that there is no fear in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your everlasting arms hover over her like majestic eagle's wings. You cover her with the presence of the Lord God Almighty, and she is in the shelter. The name of the Lord is her strong tower. Oh, Lord, she is a precious princess of the Most High God. She is a princess of the Lord Jesus Christ. Love her, hold her, and let mom and daddy's arms and hugs represent your everlasting, forever protection and love. We dedicate Olivia to you forever and ever in Jesus' name. Amen. And this is Owen, boy through and through. See, I was going to do, I won't scare Owen, I love you, you know that. I was going to hold him up like Simba, right? Yeah, da da. This is I had 4 boys, so I can relate to this really well. I was thinking he might just jump off the stage in a minute. I can relate to an Owen who reminds me of a David, who reminds me of a Joshua, but who was given the name Owen because his mom and dad loved him and picked the name out just for him. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew when Owen would be born, where he would live, and who his parents and grandparents would be. And so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we dedicate Owen to you, O Heavenly Father. We dedicate him as a strong man of God, as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a captain in the army of the commander of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that he will become a mighty man of God because you have created our boys to be leaders and to be strong and to have a physical presence. And so, Lord Jesus, we dedicate Owen to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Amen. Now, I'm not going to touch Sutton because she's too perfectly precious here. Okay, how old is Sutton now, Brianne?
6 months.
Sutton's 6 months. Look at her. Her and Naomi and Hannah steal the princess show, don't they? This young couple has grown together as a couple that loves the Lord and is excited to lead. They want to lead. They want to lead people, just like this entire throng that's up here. They want to lead people to Jesus Christ. And so the experiences they've had, some hard, some precious, have brought them to this day when they know that God is asking them to dedicate their precious girl. So Sutton, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, knowing full well that a princess is only a princess because of the everlasting commitment of the Lord God, her Savior, to make her so. And her parents bring her to this place, this altar, to dedicate themselves to you afresh. Every one of us, Lord Jesus, dedicates our hearts to you anew on this day, in this place, that for us and our household, we will serve the Lord and none other. And so we dedicate beautiful Sutton to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen and amen. What went through my heart and mind was like when, and I pray we see it all at the same time. I think we will. I mean, whether we're raised, you know, in that moment or whether we're alive in that moment, I think we'll all see each other all at the same time as we see Jesus' face. And it's like this throng just coming to the throne. But we're doing it right now, too. We're doing it right here, right now, too. Come, let us adore him. It sounds like, almost sounds like Christmas. Well, it ought to be. It ought to be Christmas every day in this place. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all that is within me. Praise him. Oh, church, let's just adore him. Let's adore him this morning together as a family of God. We've had a powerful time together already. May his word just seal us. May his word that comes in a few moments just seal our hearts. And this understanding that all glory and honor and praise and dominion and power and mercy and grace forever and ever be his and his alone. Lord, we come to you in that very simple and powerful position. We are covered by your grace. We stand under your mercy. And we work as your obedient and loving soldiers, your sons and daughters, because you've covered us with your love and your grace. And so Jesus, as we bring each other to you, we all need you. But Lord, we also know that there are those in our midst that need you a special touch. We thank you, Lord, for what a praise for Kyle's brother, Brad. Oh, Lord, continue to heal his body as only you can. Lord Jesus, for the Rice family, we just want to be found intercessors for Carol and Greg and his brother, Sean. Lord, we want to be used powerfully in intercession by your grace because you've provided the gift of prayer. So we take that seriously. What a privilege to pray. Lord, for the Braden family, just continue prayer. Continued prayer and love and intercession. Lord Jesus, we know that the Smith family, especially Julie and Stephanie, we just don't know words, but we want them to know. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for compelling so many of our people to be around them and surrounding them with love. But this morning, we pray the presence of the Lord God Almighty over them, because that is the presence that never leaves nor forsakes. And precious Lord Jesus, we want now to absorb and assimilate your will. Yes, even in our tithes and offerings, Lord, may that be an act of worship. As John gives a gift to you, may we receive it as well. And may your word change our hearts. In Jesus' name, the people said, amen, amen.
There's a big sign out front that says friends. And that's what we are. Sometimes to have a friend, you have to be a friend. And then the last chapters of Mark, it talks about when Jesus was arrested, they came and took him. It said they all forsook him and fled. And then there was a moment when they came back together. And it was awkward for them because they had denied him, they had forsaken him. Some of them said they didn't even know him. But Jesus was truly a friend to them, and he restored them. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. We can take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. You can take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Our precious Savior is still our refuge. You can take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise and forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Everything to God in prayer. Everything to God in prayer.
Thank you, Johnny. He told me he was going to change up what a friend we have in Jesus a little bit. I didn't realize you're going to put everything from gospel to country and a little bit of acid rock in there too, right in the middle. That was awesome, buddy. Good job. You know, what's it say about a guy wherever I go, all the puppies and the cats all come up and gather around my feet, but the children run away. Okay, not run. I'm just kidding. But wasn't it precious when when I come up to them like I'm going to pray over them, they like turn their head to mom, real quick. And it's just such a precious thing to know that those children feel safe. They feel safe in the arms of their parents. And a friend we have in Jesus, when at our age, we're not allowed to go run in my dad's lap, although I feel like it sometimes. But I sure can crawl up in my daddy Jesus' lap. How about you? If you don't find that easy to do, you need to spend more time with him. Oh, he'll discipline you once in a while. Oh, yeah. If the conviction of the Word of God isn't upon your life, then you're not reading it. Or you're not living it. But at the same moment, that love and that grace and that power of his incredible, overwhelming acceptance should cover you. I mean, we should walk around. Like this morning in worship, I can hardly contain myself. How about you? Well, I know. You don't want anybody to know that you really get excited sometimes. But, seriously, even if it's just on the inside, and that's fine because all of our personalities are different. We know that. But, it just wells up within you, doesn't it? Just the love and the power of what God has done for us. And when you see something like of these precious babies being dedicated to the Lord's service, to bring them up and all his precepts, and it's not a program. We're not dedicating these children to the Lord to bring them up in a Sunday school program. We're dedicating them to the Lord because of the overwhelming presence of the reality of the living God in their life will never cause them to stumble when the world tries to. And so that's why I was so adamant about you're a part of this, oh church. You are a part of bringing them up in the Lord. There was a long time ago, was it Hillary? Somebody said it takes a village to raise a child. That's baloney. It takes a church, however. We don't want them just running around the village, although, they'll have some good times running around with their high school friends, and that's good. But what I'm saying is they need a church family. And they've got you. Take it seriously. So, as we move into the end of Philippians 1, you're going to see this clear and bold, black and white conviction, but also in love this morning. We're going to see this played out. We're going to see this played out in the book of Philippians. We're stepping through it line by line. Chapter 1, you want to put your finger in there right now, or turn to it actually, chapter 1, and I don't think we're going to get much past verse 29, and we're going to start with verse 27. In other words, I don't think we'll make it to any of the first part of chapter 2, and probably rightly so. As I watch God move in the service today, I think he's moving our hearts in this direction to stay right here, 27 to 29, and to have him powerfully do some surgery on our hearts as a church before we leave this place today, and then end with a commitment to one another, and a commitment to these children, and a commitment to the world, to the community in which we live. You live in a city, right? It has people, it has culture. It's a lot of culture. So turn to Philippians 1, verse 27. Would you stand with me just for a quick few moments as we read this together. Now, you may have King James, that's great. You may have ESV, that's great. I'm reading out of the NIV, but I'm going to refer to a couple of the other translations as we go later. Verse 27. Whatever happens. Now, just real quick, Paul's in jail, remember? If you weren't here the last couple weeks, Paul's in jail. He's writing this to one of his beloved churches. The only letter to any church that doesn't have a lot of correction in it, but just love. It's got a little bit in there, but mostly it's all love. And so Paul's in jail. He's writing this to them, and he was just telling them that the entire Roman guard and even the church is actually advancing because he's in jail. Okay, So he says, whatever happens, what's going on in your life? Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, when I come and see you, or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending. Yours might say striving. I hope it does. As one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Lord Jesus, bring alive your word to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Can we really say, I mean, can you say, could you all stand up today and say, whatever happens, whatever happens? Whatever happens. Whatever happens in your life, you're able to conduct yourself according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you do that? Be honest with yourself this morning. Be honest with yourself. This letter's written to the church. It's not written to a bunch of heathen people. By the way, remember where heathen, pagan comes from? Comes from the countryside. You live in the countryside. So, but this is written to the church. This is written to one of the most beloved churches that Paul helped get started. And it says, whatever happens. Now, he could speak with authority on this. He just said a few sentences earlier, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. Every Sunday, we're going to end with that phrase as we end our time together. So then he gets to the dissertation of being in jail and how that's actually advanced the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I wonder, in our situation here in Gilead Friends Church, have we suffered enough? Oh, remember we said, don't pray for that. I don't think you want to pray for that. But can we truly say that, you know, whatever happens, that we could conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel? Whatever happens. Some of the worst meetings I've ever been in are church meetings. It's pathetic. And it's got to stop. And it stops today. And what I mean by that is, I'm not yelling at you. It sounded like it, didn't it? My mic might be too loud. I'm usually pretty quiet and calm. What I'm trying to say to you in great love is, this is written to the church. In other words, it doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter what happened in your life. It doesn't matter what sin you've dealt with in the past. It doesn't matter what's going on in your neighbor's backyard. Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's quite a conviction. It's a pretty emboldened statement, you know. And he's talking to the church he loves the most. Well, you know, there's no degrees of love. You don't love anybody in your family better than somebody else, do you? But he's talking to a church where they had most of their act together. And so he was just pouring on the love, encouraging them, keep on, keep on. You know how we talk about momentum. I don't care if it's the Ohio State Buckeyes or, you know, or your corporation. When it's got momentum, you capitalize on it. When Brad starts swimming, you know he's in the over 50 group, but he's the number one in the state of Ohio in the swimmers of over 50. Did you guys know that? And when... I just had to embarrass you a little bit, brother. He's going a year. Is it a year from now you go to nationals? Okay. And we were talking about it. You know, who wants to exercise? It's no fun. Oh, I got one hand. I'm with you, brother. When you go into it, like in the morning or afternoon, I mean, it's like drudgery. But once you get done, you've got a momentum that carries you on to the next day. I'm going to do it again. I want to do it again. I'm seeing progress. I've got, you know, a momentum. Well, that's Paul's, when he's encouraging, when we encourage one another, Pastor Charles, years ago, he was, if anything, he was, or his probably his one of his best gifts was encouragement. Because he could find the good in me when I was the worst in me. If you don't follow that stupid phrase I just said. But he could find the good and he would encourage it. He would encourage it in you. And you know, and we began to do things as a church that we didn't think we could do. I mean, we didn't know we could do it. Because he believed, you know, that the power of the gospel in us could do it. And that's what Paul's doing here in the church of Philippi. Gilead, you're no different. There's not like just the church in Philippi. Yeah, it was a nice colony on the outskirts of, you know, Rome. Yeah. Well, that is an example to us. That doesn't mean it's the only church. We're part of that. We're part of that church. You know, quite often we're talking about here at Gilead, a vision. We always have to have a vision, which is true. But it must be God's vision. And I want to reverse that in your thinking today, because this is what was happening in the church of Philippi, and Paul saw it, and he was fanning that flame. And he was saying these words to encourage, keep that momentum, the momentum in Christ, not in yourself, but in Christ. You remember what these people were? A rich lady, a slave street woman, and a prison guard. That's who started this church. He's fanning that flame. And here's the change. Here's what I want you to get today. If you don't get anything else, get this. It's not that we must have a vision for Gilead. It's that Gilead is a vision of God. Did you catch it? If you write anything down, write that down. That's not of me. I believe that is of the Holy Spirit. It's not that Gilead has to catch a vision for something. It's that we have to see that Gilead church, Gilead friends, Gilead is a vision of God. Understand what I'm saying? The church of Jesus Christ is God's vision, and he's birthed in us the seeds of faith that will flame into a fire of momentum for the gospel of Jesus Christ if we encourage it in one another. And so why these words are so powerful, such powerful words in three sentences, are because he's wanting us to stand firm in one spirit. You know what I saw today, even this morning? I saw an entire church standing firm to bring up children under the precepts and the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ. That was an easy one for us. There was an enthusiastic, we will. We will. There was an instant response, affirmation that we will stand firm in one spirit to do that. I'm asking you today, church, will you stand firm in one spirit when it gets hard? Will we stand firm in one spirit when we are called to minister to people that we'd rather not even look upon, much less put our arms around? Will we stand firm then when it gets tough and messy? Almost three years ago, I said, it's going to get messy around here. Just in the last few weeks, some people have got into people's lives for Jesus Christ, and it's got a little messy, and it's going to get good because Jesus Christ has called us to it. And the next one we do, Lauren leads us in Friends Serving Friends, it's going to get a little messy out there. My shirt, I told him I was going to wear my shirt, but my shirt's all ripped up. It's got the sleeves ripped off, and it's got stains all over. I should have worn it, shouldn't I? I'll wear it with you next week, Lauren. Because it's supposed to get messy in the church of Jesus Christ. Do you think Paul was always just living in a hotel with his, you know, was there a mint on his pillow when he went to bed? Are you willing to sacrifice by standing firm in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Can we do it together? Alone, we're going to fail. But together? Standing firm in one unity? I saw a church do that today. I saw people jump out of their seats to come stand behind the dedication of children. Will we jump out of our seat to go minister on the street? Some of our homes in this county, don't have indoor plumbing. They don't have anything on the floor. Carpets have been ripped up because of all the feces and stuff on the floors. Will we jump to be hands and feet of Christ in that moment when we're called to it? There's a bus that travels around our community every Saturday. You know, we're not doing traditional Bible school because we're doing it every Saturday. And these places are not the Hilton, but they're precious children in our city. And our bus and our people go minister. It's not easy. Oh, we're not suffering. Our life isn't threatened in those moments. Our life isn't threatened like Paul's or like it would be in Israel. Our life isn't being threatened to be a Christian. And I think in America, that's part of our problem. We're not standing firm in one unity with one cause and with one just understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ as powerfully as we could because we're not been challenged enough, I don't think. But there's probably going to come a day when that'll happen. We will be able to stand firm. And the only way we can stand firm is by striving. Your Bible, if it's NIV, says contending. Do you know? So point one, standing firm. Standing firm. But that standing firm is in one spirit, contending. Contending for the faith of the gospel. Okay, so let's look at contending. So we're standing. Let's contend. You know what the word contend, or in your Bible it might say striving? Ooh, striving. You know what that comes from? It comes from this Greek word here is sonathaleo, or sunathaleo. You don't care, do you? I don't really care either. Except. Except. Sometimes it's important to know what that word meant in the original language, because we've translated it to the best of our ability, so we can read it. So God did that for us. He's translated it for us so that we could hear his word. But sometimes it's important to understand that other languages have a big meaning in one word. So this word, striving or contending, sunathaleo, is the word where we get athlete. Comes out of the Greek, we get the word athlete. So in the connotation, it's like shoulder to shoulder. It's like when John and some of you guys out there played football. Anybody like football? I love football. Go Bucks! O-H! Little funny tangent. We're introducing pastors at annual meeting, and our superintendent went, O-H! Because he introduced somebody from Ohio. Everybody went, I-O! And suddenly he introduced a couple from Michigan. He went, M-I! Since Chris Jackson's from Ohio, he did it on purpose, you know, because there's no response. I love football. I love athletics. I love contending, and I will win somehow, some way. You know, that's what you always feel in your head. You know, you play to win. And I told you that when we got to the house in Florida, that the Monopoly game, you know how long Monopoly takes, was written in German, right? Remember I told you that? Our Monopoly game, because the homeowners were German. And so our Monopoly game was written in German, but I still said I was going to win. And I had more money and more houses and more hotels and properties everywhere. And then I started to get compassionate. You know, Jay said, would you trade me this property for this property? And, you know, boy, is he smart. I traded him properties and he wiped me out. This word sunathaleo is where we get the word athlete. And the connotation there is shoulder to shoulder. When John and I played football, the line was side by side. Stand up, John. When we played football, and he was much older than me, but he played semi-pro. He was a lot better. He played semi-pro ball. Anyway, you know, with a line, and you get down, and the idea is there's no gap. There's no gap. We could do it the Dallas way. You know. You guys weren't born in this. You weren't even here in the 70s. I'm sorry. So the idea there is that we're shoulder to shoulder, the church. This was written to the church. Shoulder to shoulder, side by side, no gap in the wall, just like Nehemiah with a sword in one hand and the word of God in the other, side by side, sunathaleo, you are athletes contending and striving for the gospel of Jesus Christ, standing firm in unity. Can we do it? Can we go there? Do we dare step our foot that far into the gospel of Jesus Christ that we can stand side by side no matter what happens in your life or whoever may offend you? I like Elder Brad's phrase. Christians, and he always says it with a straight face, you should be unoffendable. And when Brad says it like that, I usually get scared. He has the love of God in his heart. I'll guarantee you our elders will stand side by side, shoulder to shoulder, in unity. We never leave a room unless we're, we'll fight it out in the room. We don't leave that room unless we're in unity. That's supposed to be church-wide. That's supposed to be the gospel of the kingdom of God wide. Well, it doesn't mean we don't come down hard when people are not preaching the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and we will. Because Paul did. When people were using the gospel, like he said, out of context, he came down hard on them. Little did they know it was for the good of the gospel when people do that. Because you know why? Sooner, and much sooner than later, even people who are in churches who are not preaching the gospel will recognize it eventually, and that church will cease to exist. And they'll become a part of a family like this, who knows the gospel of Jesus Christ, who lives the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, we don't live it perfectly. No, that's what we're talking about. We're striving together. Don't you think, just a reminder, that Lydia, a rich lady, the street girl, and the prison guard, you think they might have had a few problems? You think, though they got saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ through Paul, and then everything was perfect. You don't think Lydia, who gave tons and tons and tons of money, might have wrestled with a little bit of pride? How come I have to give all the money around here and nobody else has to? You don't think maybe the street girl had all kinds of problems over the relationships? Constantly, maybe, could have been anything from problems with authority to just hanging on to things of the past. Don't you think the prison guard who just tried to bust through everything, let's just kill it? They struggled. So Paul's saying, you're striving together, but you're striving in one accord, in one faith, in one gospel, in one mindset, the mind of Christ. So I want you to hear that the word striving, also the same word, was used in 2 Timothy 2:5. It says an athlete cannot win the crown unless he competes. You can't win. You can't further the gospel unless you're in the game. So that was in 2 Timothy 2:5. Same word. The word athlete there was used of sunathaleo. And then Philippians, here three chapters later, in chapter 4 in Philippians, Paul's talking about Euodia and Syntyche. Do you remember those two ladies? Euodia, I know those are weird names. Euodia, E, starts with an E. We'll see it here in a few weeks. And he says to the brothers there, he would say to the people of the church, don't let them be fighting. Don't let them continue fighting with each other, because for years they have labored side by side. And the word labor is sunathaleo. Church, are we able to labor? Have we been laboring? Have we been contending like an athlete? Have we been striving? Or can we? Can we, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with a vision, with a fresh vision, that it's not about us? It's not our vision. It's that God's vision is Gilead. God's vision is this church. He birthed it into being. He gave us the marching orders. The cross is our symbol that we hold high. The gospel is our vision. That we would be all things to all people, that we might win some. In other words, we would go out into our community and our workplace and not be so dogmatically legalistic that all they see in you and me is a hypocritical attitude of what you ought to do. No! It should be that we're going into our city, our workplace, standing firm, striving side by side, knowing that God's vision is this church. standing firm in the unity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what they see is a person they can come to in their moment of greatest need, and you will accept them right where they are. With all their baggage, with all their mess, with all their disgusting sin, you'll accept them with the love of Jesus Christ. Oh, not hopefully not allowing them to stay where they are if they'll be willing to accept your help of Jesus Christ. But accepting them because God accepted you. Jesus accepted you and me. Oh my, those songs should have made us jump up and down. I don't mean crazy, you know, jumping pews just because, you know, you get hurt doing that at you guys' age. What I'm talking about is on the inside, there should be such a depth of joy in our hearts of what Christ has done for us. We see every person we come in contact with in the eyes of Christ, not with the eyes of Brian or the eyes of John or the eyes of Brad, but with the eyes of Christ. You can see in them not what they are, but what Jesus knows they can be with his love. Amen? So we're standing firm. We're striving and contending like athletes. And I know some of you weren't athletes, but I'm talking when you get down on your hands and knees side by side and you're scrubbing a floor, or you're throwing tires, old tires and bags of garbage into a dumpster, and you're doing that side by side, that's just the same as contending like an athlete for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we stand firm. And the last thing, as we stand firm, contending or striving for the gospel, it's without being frightened. You ever get afraid? Is there any ever fear in your hearts? Paul knew so well that there was nothing else left to hold on to in his life. What for? Well, why would he try to hold on to anything? None of it has any value. It's all rags. It's all garbage. It's all refuse. The things of this world have absolutely no value compared to the riches and the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he says to us today, just like he did to them in that day, without fear. Don't have any fear. What can possibly happen to you that's bad? They take all your earthly possessions? And? I don't know if any of you think you have a storage unit in One Avenue, Glory Street. They don't have a storage section. They don't have a mini storage unit up there that you can send your stuff to, so that when you die and get to heaven, you know, all your stuff that's already kind of rusty and ragged. I mean, there's no storage units. So if they take everything away from you, what do you have left? Paul's trying to get across to these dear people he loves so much. Guys, don't forget that whatever happens, no matter what, don't have fear. My brother Dylan Gandhi had an experience this week. I think I'll have you share next week that experience. If you're here, it might be, I know your work schedule, let me know when you're going to be here. But Dylan had an experience about a man who thought he lost everything, but loves Jesus so much now at the age of 90. Guys, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to serve Christ. And I think in America we have trouble with this thought, because we don't have much fear of our faith. But if God calls you to do something that's a little scary, look at what he's done for you. Look at what he did for us. I did not consider it. Not consider his home and glory to be grasped. He didn't hold on to it. He didn't try to, tell us that you know, you're not worth it. But he came. As a human, do you think Christ had some fear in his heart? Don't forget Christ was 100% human, at the same time 100% God. Sometimes we forget that. Do you think facing the cross was a cakewalk for him? Sometimes we think because Jesus knew the outcome that there was no fear and there was no... Guys, can you imagine what it would be like as a human being knowing that you are the God of the universe and you breathed into existence the soldiers who are nailing the nails in your hands, that you breathed and you spoke the word and the tree that they made the cross out of came into existence. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be taken down a street that you made the geology and the biology behind it to create the rocks and to create the formation? You spoke it into existence at the foundations of the earth, and you're carried outside the city gate because you were humiliated in your humanness, and you were taken to a place on the hillside that you created by your word at the beginning the foundations of the earth, and you were placed on that cross, and you bled blood that you spoke into existence from the dust of the ground through Adam and Eve. Imagine the agony and the pain and his humanness, never sinning, that he felt in that moment. And then on the cross he says, Father, Dad, forgive them. They don't know. They just don't know what they're doing. And yet it was for his glory. It's for his supreme glory that Jesus was glorified in that moment for you and my sake. And so I would ask you again as we close. Worship team, come. I'm sorry, I went a little longer than I wanted to. I know on baby dedication that's not a good thing to do. But I felt God had a message, a real word for us as a church today. We can't be frightened. We can't be scared of what we're facing as a church or as individuals. There's no reason for it. And why is that? The great missionary, and for some reason his Livingston, am I saying that right? I just lost his name. But he said this phrase, maybe Rick can help me. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Remember that quote? Remember who that was? I think it is Livingston, but I'm not positive. Dr. Livingston, right? Anyway, that's not right. It's somebody else. Elliot. Thank you. James Elliot. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. To live this way, standing firm in one spirit, contending for the gospel with absolutely no fear. To do that is the power of the gospel. To not do it slights and condescends to the power and excitement and worthiness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me? For to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So what is there to fear? Whom shall I fear? Remember Romans 8? About verse 30 all the way to 39. Whom shall I fear? Neither death nor life, nor powers, nor principalities, nor things seen or unseen, nor things above the earth or under the earth. Nothing can separate me from my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What shall I fear? I want you to sing these words. These words spoke volumes to me. I mean, it broke my heart this morning. And if anyone needs to come and pray at this altar, I want you to do that, because don't leave here without giving everything, every fear, every worry, everything that you think you aren't in Christ, or what you want to be, bring it to this place of prayer and give it to Him. Our precious Lord Jesus, I pray to this week that the revelation that this church is your vision and that the picture, the spiritual identity of us standing firm, contending and striving together in unity for the gospel of Jesus Christ with absolutely no fear will be cemented upon our hearts and our spirits as we move forward together. Go with us now in power, strength, and mercy and grace for the furtherance of the kingdom of God and the people of Gilead said, amen. Go in His power.